The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Ah, the cowbell. More of it. Gotta love that. 770-563-3, 770-KMED. Anything happens to be on your mind this morning? I know that they are in the Trump trial. The judge is instructing the jury ahead of the deliberations. And then, I wonder how that... How do you think that's going to play out? Do you think there's going to be one or two, maybe even more jurors in New York City who might actually vote to not convict? What do you think? I think the most dangerous part of that entire conversation going on over in New York City is that there are two attorneys, there are two lawyers on the jury. They almost never let that happen. It astounds me. I mean, you would hope that maybe the attorneys would actually talk about the law. I mean, it could be. It'd be nice if they actually talked about what the law says, these created out of whole cloth felonies, all right? But, you know, angry Democrats will not be denied, I guess. Dwayne Junker sent me a post on, I guess it's the Nextdoor app. I don't belong to the Nextdoor app, but I know that... A lot of the progs, a lot of the hardcore Democrats, boy, they are really upset after last week's election results. Maybe they were upset before. But I noticed that there was a conversation between Russell McAlman and Linda Demshire. Linda Demshire used to work for the Modoc County newspaper down in El Torres, I believe, is where that was. And she did some other things. I worked at Reading Record Searchlight and... She did all sorts of other things, too. And needless to say, they were talking about something I'm not quite sure, but she was telling Russell, right-wing media has created divisiveness in our community. Listen to KMED in the morning where some screeching guy spews hate for 3 hours. Oh, okay. Am I screeching? I wasn't aware I was screeching, Linda. But anyway, so, screeching hate guy, some screeching guys, it's kind of funny, actually, some screeching guy spews hate for 3 hours. So I suppose if I talked about what I like to talk about, Linda, but I did it in proper JPR or NPR terms like this, in which I would say, you Democrats are just absolutely unhinged and crazed about this Trump derangement syndrome and everything else, then it would be okay. I would no longer be a screeching guy or not. Anyway, this is very funny. So some screeching guy spews hate for 3 hours. Watch Fox News and the sneaky little right-wing inserts on Channel 10. Study this and you'll find out where the hatred comes from. Listen and you'll hear your neighbors repeat what they hear on right-wing media. Social media is even worse. How can such a thing have so much control over people? And there is no both sides. There is no left-wing media that spews such hatred. Oh, my gosh. Linda Demshire, this is high comedy. There is no left-wing media that spews such hatred and divisiveness. That does not make money because liberals are turned off by that kind of hatred. Gosh, you know, I'm thinking about The View and... Many national newscasts, MSNBC, the entire MSNBC lineup there. Anyway, Linda, I'll tell you what. You know, if you want to come on, I'd be happy to talk with you some morning about my screeching right-wing hate, and we can have a conversation about that. And I promise I won't screech at you. I'll tone down the screechiness, okay? Anyway, that's it. The problem that you get into, I think, unfortunately, is what they call divisiveness, what the Democrats call divisiveness, is a difference of opinion. There's a difference of opinion in the worldview. And like the, I think it was Scott Stoddard's editorial in the Daily Courier the other day. Yeah, I read that. And there was a comment that was responding to it. And and we like to support our schools and you know, and the library and things like that. Well, it's not that people from the right wing don't support schools and don't support libraries. It's just that when the left controls an institution, it becomes a political outpost. Libraries are arguably run by some of the hardest left wing political activists that we have here in Southwest Oregon. I don't know personally what's going on in the Josephine County Library, since it was the Daily Courier. But generally speaking, you're seeing all this stuff about the stolen land things, and oh, we can't put the totem poles up, and oh, we have to do the bum washing of the feet instead of actually having library services. Oh, and we have to make sure that we have all sorts of tranny and LGBTQ books to shove into your kids. All right? And the taxpayers, you have to pay for it, good and hard, whether you want it to be or not. And that's the challenge, I think, that we have. What is called divisiveness is a difference of opinion. And the right, or the, I'm sorry, the left, though, controls most institutions, including most of the governments, most of the government institutions and the agencies in the state of Oregon. And they become political outposts. They're beachheads. And they just can't believe that anyone would disagree with them. And so, screeching hate, you know, that kind of thing. But anyway, Linda, you want to come on? We'll talk about it. And I promise I won't screech. And maybe we can... You know, maybe we can talk with one another before we end up in a separate concentration camps, depending on where things go. All right, 770-5633. It is open phone time here. I'm just jesting, maybe just a little bit, but let me go to line one. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Good morning. Who's this?
Hey, Bill, it's Screechy Bill. It's deplorable Patrick.
Well, hello. Screechy Bill here. How you doing, DP?
Not too bad. Can I screech alongside you?
Okay, go ahead.
My big complaint about your show is that you give us too many things to talk about.
Okay. Well, pick one or two then. How about that?
Two then. And I think I was understanding correctly, the Democrats are really despondent about the way they're thinking about trying to change the county commission. Went down in flames, and I would just say it's their turn to be upset. We take our turn to be upset, and now it's their turn to be upset.
That's an interesting way. That's a good way of looking at it, too. I think, though, that the Democrats tend to look at, hey, this is ours. This is our situation. We are the way forward, and change is always good. And, You know, I saw a cartoon the other day that reminded me of the challenge that we look at here. Democrats look at all change as good. Would you agree with me? For the most part, change is always good. Even Obama ran on that. Remember?
That's what they seem to be promoting.
Yeah. I remember a stick figure cartoon that I saw a couple of years ago, and it stuck in my mind, in which, I'd like a cup of coffee. Guys like getting a cup of coffee. And then the stick figure, the barista, says, well, you know, we need some change here. So you need to get used to change. So I'm going to put a little poop in your coffee, just a little bit more. And then you'll like it because, change is always good. Change is always good. And the other guy says, no, I like my coffee just like it is. Nope. Here's more poop into your coffee. That always stuck in my head. That's sort of the way the Democrats run the state of Oregon in the administrative agencies, in my opinion. Okay? And I'm not trying to screech, but just my opinion. There we go.
You're correct. And as far as my real reason that I picked up the phone this morning is being a deplorable, far be it from me to say anything controversial about this thing, about anything, but about particularly this morning, this dismal subject of child mutilation. I've been waiting for somebody to say it. Nobody's saying it, so I'll say it. It's demonism.
You do wonder about that. You hate to go there. It's kind of like the way the right or the left will always go, Nazi, if they disagree with you, right? You know, and then the right will say, hey, kind of demonic. But it's hard to look at this this transgender push to get everybody operated on in their when they're young or when they're in their teens, before they're fully formed, before they're fully thinking about things. And also the medical system that is profiting greatly from it, too. And it just, like I was talking with Dr. Reddy last hour, it's probably going to be solved when the trial lawyers sue these people out of existence. It's probably going to be the only thing that changes it around. What do you think?
I don't know why it hasn't started already. You know, what is so astonishing is that, you know, these teachers, I can't stand teachers anymore, and doctors, pretty much the same. Why don't they say, well, this is a momentous thing. let's take some time with this. Let's don't rush into this because it's irreversible. They're not saying that. They're saying, let's get started.
And I read so many cases of people who have gone trans and then realized they've made a huge mistake. And then to say and to say that you've made a huge mistake, well, they don't want to believe that either. Oh, wait a minute. You know, it's like you're going against the agenda, and it's very, very sad.
Okay, again, it's demonism.
All right. Demonism, duly noted. Thank you for the call, DP. Good morning, KMBD. Who's this?
Hello, this is Cherry Cherry.
Hello, Cherry Cherry. What's going on in your world here? Do you see any decent movies? I know you tend to be our resident film critic.
Yes, I am. My husband and me, we sat down with some Ovaltine and Swanson chicken TV dinner.
Wait a minute. Nobody drinks Ovaltine. Come on, what is this, the Depression? The Great Depression, 1935? You know, that's when we drank Ovaltine, was the Great Depression.
Well, I think we're in the Great Depression now.
Oh, okay. No, you're just depressed, not the Great Depression. Yeah. Okay. I'm teasing you there, but please continue.
I know, honey. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we were watching our Twilight Zone, and there was a particular show about this boxer who is kind of old and worn out. Anyway, cut to the chase. He goes into the ring with this white guy because he's of color, of course.
Yeah.
And they are fighting. And guess what? They don't show the fighting. They show the audience. They show the guy pummeling his hand in his fist. They show this gal gasping. You know, the point is they don't show the fight, except when he is TKO on the ground.
Oh, in other words, you're supposed to imagine then how bad the blows are, right?
Yes. Isn't that incredible? I said, what? Even as a kid, I don't recall that little violence. I mean, they always showed up, but now it's just ridiculous. What, you know, how the graphism is horrible, horrible. And I basically quit watching movies because of the darkness, the violence, and it's just too much.
So, you know what ruined, I'll give you an example of where what I think was a low point that started the trend. Do you remember when Nightmare on Elm Street first came out?
Oh no, I didn't watch that.
Okay. Now, I went to that, and to me, I mean, I know that there was slasher and gross stuff before, but for some reason, I think Nightmare on Elm Street was the trigger of the trend of grosser and more demonic and, you know, how much blood and spew and body parts can we see, you know, sliced off of people. You know, I think that's kind of where that started. I haven't been able to watch horror in years. Because it's just not not for me. But that's neither here. Now, have you watched anything good though?
As I said, in your Ovaltine,
okay, drinking your Ovaltine.
Paradise Highway, as I said before, was about the sex trade, of course, mm-hmm. that is going on now with children. And you think, oh, I don't want to watch that, but it was tastefully done. It was about a sister and a brother and their story and how they were a part of it and how this gal took this girl under her arm instead of taking this girl to another halfway house, you know, to abuse her. She took this child under her wing and adopted her. And the whole point is that we need to try to help, you know, in that way, try to love children and take them in if we can. I know we can't. I mean, I can't. You can't probably. But it would be so nice to try to save some of these children from this horror that has been going on since they were babies.
And what was the name of that movie again that you recommend?
Paradise Highway. And the reason why it was so good, it had Morgan Freeman and Juliette Binoche, who are award-winning actors, and it wasn't too much. It was beautifully done. It was heartwarming. It wasn't really that graphic. and I loved it.
Great. Heart-centered. I appreciate the suggestion there. Thank you very much, Jerry. And enjoy your Ovaltine. It's 727. Hi, KMED. Who's this?
It's just not so crazy.
Hey, Gene. What's going on?
Well, I was going to talk about the crucifixion of Trump, but then we started talking about movies. And I remember one I've seen years and years back, the Nightmare or the Masters of Horror series. Have you ever seen any of those?
No, I can't say I have.
Yes, they're one.
Like I said, I gave up horror after Nightmare on Elm Street. Seriously, I gave it up as a genre.
Oh, okay. But this one here was about some aliens that stumbled across the Earth, and then they decided they wanted the Earth, so they figured the best way to do it is to make all the men turn against the women. So men were killing women, and the judges were all for it. Oh, let him loose. I mean, she needed to die anyway. And so at the end of the movie, there was only one woman in drag hiding out in the forest watching these aliens playing with the deer.
All right. Okay. That's interesting. Now, have you seen that latest video, the alien video from Las Vegas? Have you seen this one?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Okay. This is something Fox News, Daily Mail has been covering this, and you ought to get on this and take a look at that video and tell me what you think, all right? And this is the story from Fox News. Las Vegas alien video shows at least two beings using a cloaking device, and the person behind this video is opening it up to peer review. And at least two beings, in fact, they're talking about these beings like 8 to 10 feet tall.
Really?
And it was taken a video in a backyard, apparently. And this was a night not that long ago in which there was a big bright streak across the sky. And now they're talking about this Vegas alien video is making the news here right now. You got to look that up. You got to look that up. Okay.
Oh, so it's sort of like Predator.
It could be. It did sort of look that way when I watched the video. It kind of like it dissolved in kind of like a smoky thing. And the person who took the video, like I said, opening up to the doctors, hey, or to the scientists, take a look at this, all right? What do you think? And the fact that he's opening up to everybody to examine and critique is, I think, pretty interesting. We'll see where that goes, okay?
Yeah. Well, you know that out there somewhere, there has to be intelligent life because I've realized it's not here.
And we have some. Yeah, we have some, you know. But anyway, a point well taken. There you go. And line four, you're on. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
It's Jean.
Hi, Jean. Take it away.
Okay, I'm going to change the subject a bit.
That's okay. You can change it away from movies and alien beings in Las Vegas. Go ahead.
Can you see a communist not terrified of President Trump and finding guilty about everything? But anyway, what I wanted to bring up.
So you're thinking he's going to be convicted then? You think it's just no way he's not?
Well, with the communists, how could it be any other way? But anyway,
okay, we'll see.
What I really wanted to bring up is, did you read that Oregon is trying to get that ranking for elections?
Oh, ranked choice voting. Yeah,
not good.
Yeah, it's you have to understand, Gene. Anytime in Oregon, which is solidly Democratic controlled, if they're bringing up something, a way to change the voting system, it's only for one reason and one reason only, and that is to elect more Democrats who can then say that I'm screeching too much. Okay? That's what that's all about.
But what I heard was there was a woman in Alaska. They forced that election ranking,
mm-hmm.
and you end up voting. You vote the third person down, and now the third person, which is a commie, is going to end up in office because they changed the vote.
Yeah, you give your first, second, or third choices. It can be very complex, very difficult to explain. You know what I'll do, just to be on the safe side here, Gene? I'll find somebody who is pretty good, maybe true the vote person that can talk about what ranked choice voting means. And we'll see if we can explain that so that we are not susceptible to any ranked choice vote poisoning that people are going to try to inject in our system, okay? I appreciate the call there. You take care. 732. I said, take care. 732. I'll push the button again.
Siskiyou Pump Service focuses on customers getting fresh, clean water from field to tap. Here's a recent review from Jennifer from Lark's Petals and Stem, a local flower farm.
Their knowledge of cost-effective watering systems saved us a ton of money for our cut flower operations. They have friendly service and are community-oriented partners. It's nice to have a local family business helping our local family business. Thank you so much, Siskiyou Pump Service.
Providing fresh water for Rogue Valley residents for over 50 years. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
If you've been injured in an accident, you've got Reed Law Firm on your side. I'm Shane Reed. Call us for a free, no-obligation consultation to discuss your case. We've been helping injured clients get the care and resources they need to get their lives back on track for 27 years. Don't be a victim twice. Put our experience on your side. Find us at reedlawfirm.com, reedlawfirm.com, or call us and let's talk, 772-3266.
If you're remodeling your house, start with the foundation. Millett Construction offers a no-pressure, thorough inspection of your home's foundation and a no-obligation estimate if your house needs work. The foundation is most important because all of the repairs and upgrades you're planning, from the floors, windows, doors, cabinets, even the roof, can be affected if your foundation is unstable. Be sure you're on solid ground. Millett Construction will level your house and correct the shifting soil problem. Visit MillettConstruction.com.
Summer is coming. Don't let breakdowns in the heat leave you stranded. Now through May 31st, get 10% off an engine cooling system service at American Wrench Garage. You can also take advantage of great savings on air conditioning diagnostics and system charges now through the end of summer. American Wrench Garage wants to keep you cool, arrive on time, and save some money doing it. Call now and book an appointment at 541-499-6673. American Wrench Garage, we are United Through Service.
If you've been injured in an accident, you've got Reed Law Firm on your side. I'm Shane Reed. Call us for a free, no-obligation consultation to discuss your case. We've been helping injured clients get the care and resources they need to get their lives back on track for 27 years. Don't be a victim twice. Put our experience on your side. Find us at reedlawfirm.com, reedlawfirm.com, or call us and let's talk, 772-3266.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. This is the Bill Myers Show.
7:35, we'll check town hall news here in just a moment. State Senator and hopefully soon to be Secretary of State Dennis Linthicum. We'll talk with him here in a few minutes to see what is on his mind as we're into the general election season. All right. Wanted to dispel some questions about this change coming to 99.3 KCMD. On Saturday morning, Saturday at midnight, actually, is when we're going to do the flip. It's going to be flipping to the jukebox, and the call sign will be KBXG, Grants Pass. So it's going to be the jukebox, classic hits, 50s, 60s, 70s, great music, okay? And this is the kind of email I've been getting many of. Dear Bill, what local radio stations can News Talk Radio listeners move to when KMED is gone? When KMED is gone. Specifically, where can Markley Van Camp and Robinson Coast to Coast AM be heard once KMED is gone? KMED is not going away, John. And everybody else who's been writing about this, nothing changes on KMED. Absolutely nothing. Everything on 106.3 and 106.7 FM in Jackson County, KMED stays exactly the same. It will not look or sound any different than it is right now. Everything's on it. All the shows, nothing. Okay, have I made this clear? Nothing changes on KMED. Now, KCMD, which is 99.3 FM in Grants Pass, that's where the change is happening. And so what we're going to be doing there is that it's the classic hits format, and that we're going to do this. But we keep our local talk shows on KBXG, too. So I'll still be on 99.3, going all the way from Grants Pass all the way out to the tunnels on 199 that you can hear there. Still be doing my morning show live. We'll also still be doing the Rogue Gardener live Saturdays 10 to noon, just like we did before. And then we're going to have the jukebox music around that, okay? So then you start wondering, okay, I live it in Grants Pass, and then what happens to KMED's talk programming? Because 106.3 does get into Grants Pass, but it's a little scratchy. It's kind of like right there on the edge because of the hills. You know, the antenna we have on Roxanne in Medford. Great signal here in Jackson County. So you're wondering, if you are a talk radio listener in Josephine County, what do you do? Okay, here's one thing we're going to do. Tomorrow morning, there is a what they call a translator, an auxiliary signal at 105.9 FM, which serves Grants Pass, city of Grants Pass, covers most of the city of Grants Pass pretty well. KMED's talk format is going to be going on that tomorrow morning, too. All right? So that will help the city of Grants Pass. Now, the only downside, though, is that if you're living out in Cave Junction, Selma, you know, outside the city of Grants Pass, 105.9 is not going to cover much more than the city of Grants Pass. Okay, just understand that. And in that case, it's streamed on KMED.com. And I have to tell you, a lot of the people that check in from Selma and Cave Junction and various other things, given the fact that it's a long reach from Grants Pass, even the signal that we have in Grants Pass right now, they're doing a lot of streaming even right now. So getting to know this stream will be helpful if you're living out in the hinterlands of Josephine County, okay? So remember, nothing changes on KMED in Jackson County, 106.3, 106.7 FM. That's for South Jackson County, that auxiliary translator signal. And it'll be on 105.9 starting tomorrow. I just have to do some rewiring of it, and that'll be hitting City of Grants Pass. All right? 99.3 has the change and the call sign change. But even then, I'll still be on the morning show on KBXG. So, you know, if you listen on 99.3 for me in the morning, nothing changes. Now, if you want Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, et cetera, you're either going to have to go to 105.9 in Grants Pass or stream on KMED.com. Okay? I hope that explains it. And I know I didn't want it to be all that. We're kind of reshuffling the chess pieces here a little bit. And if you have any questions, just email bill@billmeyershow.com. And remember, nothing changes on KMED. KMED is not going away. All right. Thanks.
Are you ready to lock and load for the summer?
Sent their first year with my name, Clay, as the promo code at lifelock.com.
Hi, I'm Jolene from Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
And also on 106.7 and 106.3 KMED and 99.3 in Grants Pass, soon to be 105.9 too. We'll be on in four places in the morning show. And we have State Senator Dennis Linthicum, who is running for Secretary of State. And you're not licking wounds or anything like that. It was a good week last week. We had a little talk about that. Now, we don't have final certified numbers, but how are they looking overall here, Senator? Welcome back.
Yeah, things are looking great. And I need to express thanks to everybody in Jackson County who turned out for this. Jackson County was a great show of strength for Republicans in general. You know, we had the numbers are really interesting. Jackson County has got somewhere near 39%, 40% turnout for the Republican Party. This is absolutely fabulous for Republicans standing up and saying, I want my voice to get counted. And those what's a little disconcerting is out of the 44,000 registered Republicans, there were only 30,000 that showed up. So that essentially means we're missing. I got that number wrong. There were 26,000 that didn't show up. Mm-hmm. In Jackson County. That's a big number. Think of how many Republican friends and family members you know that did not show up on Election Day. And so those people are essentially missing in action, and we need we face a tough haul. The left, as you've been describing all morning long, is well entrenched. They've got the NGOs, they've got political activists. They are well seated in the halls of power. Tobias Reed is the Democrat. I'll be challenging, and he's been treasurer for 8 years now. And I think we can point to all kinds of misdeeds in the treasurer's office, but it's a tough game.
Now, the last Republican had as Secretary of State was another Dennis, and of course, Dennis Richardson, the late Dennis Richardson. Arguably, Dennis was, would it be fair to say Dennis was a pretty moderate Republican in retrospect, you know, when you think about the way he looked at things?
Yeah, actually, he spoke moderately. He acted quite conservatively. He was focused on, and I think I'll follow in his footsteps as mm-hmm. closely as I can. He was keen on auditing DHS. He was keen on protecting children from the tragedy of state intervention. Every time DHS or Child Protective Services or some now, quote, medical association steps in to intervene in your child's life, there's dangerous consequences. And all, you know, we talk about earlier, you had an individual on who was challenging the transgender movement or agenda. It's clearly a modern agenda. It's a modern first world problem.
Oh, definitely. I mean, yeah. And he was talking about how the Texas Medical Association, of all places, everyone's talking about how rock rib conservative Texas is. And yet look how they went down that rabbit hole. It's amazing.
Right. And what you two pointed out in your conversation is this isn't medical in terms of, you know, what's wrong with my body. My arm doesn't work. This is, an ideological contagion. I don't know if that's a right phrase for it, but it's spreading from individual to individual because, as you identified, it's a cool cat thing to do. And you get lauded, you get brought to the top of the heap. If you're a man, you can win little girls' foot
games.
Races.
Yeah, and, exactly.
And nobody could compete with you. And so it's really a... It's a postmodernist ideology where there is no such thing as truth. It's your truth, my truth, his truth. And since everybody's making up their own truth as they weave along through our society and culture, the legislature says, well, hey, we want monopoly control. We are in charge here. We'll make the truth. And they drop the gavel in some committee meeting and boink, the truth comes out. And as the individual in your show earlier today explained, it's peer pressure. Nobody wants to be the guy that says, wait a minute, hold on a second, and calls the whole game to a stop. Using logic, reason, traditional values, justification, all of those things don't count as much as some made-up marketing scheme that's coming from your cereal box top.
Yeah, well, yeah, we definitely find ourselves at peak trans right now, and especially going into, what, LGBTQ Awareness Month in June, which I'm trying to figure out, or Pride Month. How could you not be aware or notice these days? I mean, even Walmart went down there. But we'll set that aside here in a moment. I wanted to get back to what you're going to be fighting, though, in this Secretary of State. It's going to be a big deal because you know that Tobias Reid will be well-funded by the leftists in the state of Oregon. And he has great name recognition. You have great name recognition, too. I guess what is his weakness as far as, you know, maybe his point of view of looking at it as he runs for Secretary of State contrasted with your strength. If you could contrast and compare between you and Tobias, other than maybe some of the obvious, but have you thought about that?
Well, yeah, I haven't come to a strategy on that issue in particular mm-hmm. because his strength is he's a Democrat. His strength is he believes in intersectionality, and he believes in all of the buzzwords like with regard to things like diversity and equity and social justice and all of those kinds of things. And so that's easy for him to garner votes using those buzzwords because they're so powerful.
So essentially, Tobias Reid is our version of Gavin Newsom. Is that really what it's about, kind of?
Yeah, actually, very much so, because the intersectionality, the axis dedicated to transnational feminism, anti-capitalism, decolonialism, all these big, you know, made-up modern isms, these words that are used to categorize all of the intersectional, you know,
baloney here. But what does that have to do with being a Secretary of State, though?
Absolutely nothing. But if you watch his TV commercials, he spent a lot of money on TV, and he has about 120,000 more votes than I do. So that's in terms of Democrat numbers. Mm-hmm. If you put Brent Barker and Tim McLeod's votes into my category, he's really only ahead of me by 50,000 votes.
Well, that's winnable, though. You see, that's something you can close. And you have been pushing really hard on election integrity. You've been doing it for quite some time. And is there a possibility that maybe some of that, like the lawsuits that you and State Senator Thatcher ended up, you know, filing, you know, is that going to be a challenge, or are you prepped for that? I would imagine you are, but
I think without. You know, ripping into the elections are unfair. For example, I just won, you know, the nomination and the Secretary of State's, I assume, to be certified. So that sounds fair enough. I did win, right? And
right.
Trump won on the Republican side. And so it's a little hard to spit into the wind on that issue. But what we know is there are vulnerabilities. So
okay.
To point out these vulnerabilities, to point out the anomalies, to point out the discrepancies is perfectly legitimate. And he's not willing to go there. All of the Portland media is calling me an election denier, and I'm not denying elections at all. I'm actually pointing to the reality of what's happening in the state of Oregon. And the deniers are the Democrats who say, oh, there's nothing to see here. This is conspiracy.
Well, there's nothing to see here because it benefits them, though. The vulnerabilities at this point in time benefit the Democrats, and which is why I thought that, I don't know if you heard your Republican opponent, Barker, when he was on Lars, but Lars just sliced him to ribbons, when Barker said, well, yeah, I'll just persuade the Democrats to go back to in-person voting. And Norris said, but they like it. You know, it works for them, right? You know,
Right. Why would they give up power? No one in power voluntarily gives up their power. That's the key point to recognize, that to take power from the powerful, you have to actually wage war, and you have to take this power away from them because they're not going to surrender it. Why do you think the Revolutionary War came to a head in 1776? Because the British had the power. The colonialists wanted to say, wait, this should be a local power. We hear that all the time in Eastern Oregon.
But the bottom line is that they took it. They took it. Right.
Yeah. They had to rise up and demand. And the demand, you know, during the war was a bloody demand. But that's what they demanded. And that's what the Antifa crowd and the pro-Gaza crowd are doing right now. They're demanding more and more power and authority, and politicians who cave or think they can persuade these individuals out of this mindset are mistaken. You actually have to build up a bulwark of supporters. And I think this is why, you know, there were 458,000 Republicans who are registered as Republicans and didn't show up to vote. Now, that's a big number. If I can encourage those And Jackson County has 27,000. Klamath County has only 10,000. Deschutes has 26,000. The big guys way up in Washington County, 53,000. Clackamas County, 57,000. Lane and Marion County, 38 and 47,000, respectively. Those big chunks, nobody knew these many Republicans. 50,000 Republicans are in the county where Salem, the capital, is, and they did not vote. This is an assault on everybody's liberty.
It's actually kind of, to me, it's kind of offensive. You know, to me, it's really offensive to hear Republicans complain about, well, they have no representation, or they feel like they're not represented in Salem, and then they stay home. But I have to tell you, it astounds me how many people I talked to over that primary season, Dennis. And you know, we banged it ceaselessly. See, I mean, just every day, got to get out, get out, get out. And I would still hear from people who said, yeah, my sons, all three of them are conservative, but yeah, boy, you'll never get them to vote. It's like, what?
Right,
you know,
right.
It's like, well, no, the vote is not perfect. We know that. But it is the one tool that you have to affect some change in it, you know, given the political power. You know, the most important thing, though, besides the audits, though, that I think would make a real change here is that when you are Secretary of State, I think we would finally have some honesty when it comes to the ballot measures and their titles. Isn't this, in fact, you almost ought to put that on a 3x5 card, because everything about ballot measures and titles and whether or not something gets on the ballot has been totally corrupted with Democratic control of this office.
Right. And I think it's a great opportunity for the Republican, Oregon GOP to get involved here, because as you just mentioned, this is really important, and to how those signatures get authenticated or thrown out or whatever is another important part of that, and getting the ballot measure title accurate. And honestly, for example, I was on the ballot measure title for Measure 113, and we, the two conservatives, it's 3-2, just like every Senate committee, always three Democrats, only
and two Republicans. Yeah.
And so it's every day, every inning, rain or shine, you know the score. It's always 3-2. And so that ballot initiative, we tried to get the word quorum put in there, and they would not do it. They kept talking about holding government accountable, making sure senators come to work, whatever. Now that they have successfully thrown 10 conservative Republicans off of the ballot, you know, do you think any of the newcomers will stand and fight? You know, Diane Lindcombe will, because she'll follow my lead.
Yeah, she'll follow Noah principle. Robinson. Yeah, she'll follow principle. Yeah.
And Noah Robinson is a great candidate. Dwayne Yunker is a great candidate. They'll stand on principle. And it's not personality. It's principle that counts. It's not how bright your smile is. It's what makes the integral part of your personality. Is that a principle, or is it just good looks in the mirror?
I know. Well, you know, bipartisan skullduggery is alive and well, even with 113 here. By the way, how long do you think, just between me and you and several thousand folks this morning here, Senator, how long do you think before Christine Drazen grabs back the House leader or the Republican leadership?
I stay away from the House, man.
Okay, I mean, should Helfrich be packing his bags at this point, or looking for the off ramp? Yeah, I know she said in the Oregonian the other day, "Oh, I'm not looking at a leadership position right now." Yeah, sure you're not. Okay, all right,
right. Yeah, there's a. You know, additionally, here in Oregon, there's 1.3 million non-major party voters. So this includes the Constitutional Party, the Libertarian Party, the Communist Party.
Well, you'll have to grab some of them too, a good percentage of them. You can't just do it on Republicans, right?
That's right. And I, you know, in terms of the third party count, I read off those Washington, Clackamas, Lane County. There's 175 right-leaning conservatives in Washington, 127 in Clackamas, 113 in Lane. Marion County has 101,000 right-hand leaning conservatives, and we know this because they're gun owners, they're rural property owners, they believe in water rights, they believe in whatever these kind of conservative ideas are, and they swore off the Republican Party because they didn't think Republicans were standing firm on key principles, and they said, well, I give up, and they checked out of the Republican Party. These are the people we want to bring back home and welcome them to our tent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope so here, Senator, because team apathy is the winning team overall in the primary, right? When you look at it, team apathy. And team apathy needs vanquished. Team apathy needs to go away, and you know, people need to wake up on this kind of stuff. And I know,
yeah, and that's what makes it a beautiful opportunity for this wide tent. We need all of these individuals. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Mm-hmm. And that's the way to look at it in this Secretary of State race. ElectDennis.com to find out more about this. And, of course, if you can support, I would highly recommend it, okay?
Senator? Yeah, we are in a bind here. We need economic and financial support once everything gets certified. I've got a newsletter that comes out that kind of lays out some of the things that we're going to need to do. But basically, Tobias Reed is going to receive millions, maybe $2.5-3 million from the Democrat Party. We're going to have to raise that from the ground up. Out of every individual's pocket, we're going to have to do some fundraising. If people ever went to a Dennis Richardson event, they'll remember he always passed out a little envelope.
Little envelopes. And he said he hated doing it, but he had to do it. And
that's right. Yeah. You know, as Republicans in this warped state, we have to do that because it's the only way we can get some traction.
All right. That's it. Dennis, thanks so much. We'll catch you soon. Be well. And like I said, savor the victory here. And I guess it'll be certified the next, 2-3 weeks here. But at least we didn't see, 200,000 mail-in ballots come in and affect that race after the fact, right? You know, we always start wondering about some of the hinky you've read about across the country.
Well, yeah, and you label it hinky, but it's actually just terrible public policy. 35% max, 35%, some counties better than that or whatever, but 35% of the ballots came in. That means nearly 60%, 65% did not come in. That means 2/3 of the ballots could come in today or yesterday and get counted. And could any elections office manage that kind of load? And could they identify which of those were illegitimate? And the answer is no, they can't.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. And I know that you as Secretary of State would bring, shall we say, some much-needed breath of fresh air there, okay? Thanks, Senator.
Yeah.
Love you back. All right?
Thank you. We'll see you then. And in the meantime, have a blessed day.
Indeed. 5 after 8, this is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KCMD, Grants Pass, K294 AS Ashland, 106.7 FM.